Well, good morning. So we've got three scripture passages for this morning. The first one is from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah writes, "Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud, don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. They act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its gods. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why," I responded. "It is because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here," he will quickly reply. Then in the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do not speak with words of wisdom. I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, 'No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.' But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds like foolishness to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." And finally, from the words of Jesus himself, taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I don't know if you've ever wondered where we get the scripture readings from on Sunday mornings. There are some churches that do series, and they'll go through, and it'll be things, kind of topically oriented. This is the best way to have a Christian relationship. This is how we deal with tough issues and topics in our time, things like that. And churches go back and forth sometimes doing series like that. And there are others that follow something called the lectionary, which was created by a group of Christians back in the 1970s, and a whole bunch of different denominations and churches use this. It's got set readings for each Sunday throughout the year, and in seasons leading up to Christmas, Advent, and seasons leading up to Easter, Lent, those readings usually tie together really well. They kind of feed one on the other. In seasons like this, where it's just like we're in February, they don't always do that. And if you're actually, if you go to a church that follows the lectionary, one of the things you'll notice, like for this time of year, is we're just going straight through the book of 1 Corinthians in those New Testament readings. We were in chapter 1, now we're in chapter 2, next week we'll be in chapter 3, and we'll just keep on going like that. So when the readings jive together, it's actually kind of a really neat thing. And this is one of those Sundays. I mean, one of the things Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount is, I didn't come to abolish the law. I didn't come to undo everything that's gone before. I've came to fulfill what has gone before. And then we have this passage from Isaiah, which is one of those that came before. And it is a beautiful passage of Scripture. It's one of those hard-hitting ones. It's one of those where if you're a person of faith and you're hearing this, because this is supposedly the voice of God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, telling the people who think that they're doing well, who think that they're doing everything exactly as they're supposed to, you people have no clue how wrong you actually are. That's pretty harsh. That's one of those things that only God himself can really say. Only people who know us really well can tell us that we're totally missing the mark. Because if people we don't know say that, like, yeah, right, whatever. Who are you to judge me? But people who know us really well, when they come up to us and say, you're saying one thing, but really you're doing something completely opposite, that's hard. It's hard to take, but it's a necessary thing that we have to take. Because every single one of us at some point in our lives falls short of what God wants for us. Even if we go through the motions, even if we faithfully show up every week to church, we know when to stand, we know when to sit, we know what to say, we know what not to say, we know when to sing, we know when not to sing. We know when to sing really quietly because the person next to us is going to sing louder and they sound better. I mean, we know all of the stuff that we're supposed to do. But if our hearts aren't right before God, then even going through those motions doesn't amount to anything. And that was the issue for the Jewish people at that time. They had to focus on fasting for different times throughout the year. And it was a requirement of the law to fast. And now, within Christianity, some of our traditions do that more than others. We've got Lent coming up at the end of the month. If you have Roman Catholic family members or background, or you are Roman Catholic, you'll know that starting in Lent, Ash Wednesday is the last Wednesday in February, on Fridays you don't eat meat anymore. That's a way of fasting. Although you're allowed to eat fish, because apparently fish don't count as meat. And I'm not exactly sure why, But one thing I have noticed over the years is even McDonald's has picked up on this, because the Filet-O-Fish will go on sale during Lent for 2 for $1. And I also, you know, I know this is Scout Sunday, and since we've got mostly Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts here, I will say this for you guys' benefit. I was always convinced that the Girl Scouts were evil, because their cookies all go on sale right before Lent, too, when everybody usually gives up chocolate. So it was one of those temptations to sin throughout Lent. So we have some fasting, but not a whole lot. Now, if you're Jewish, you've got periods of significant fasting. You cut out entire meals. You cut out certain food groups for multiple days throughout this fasting season. And they were doing it. They were going through all the motions. They were offering the sacrifices at the temple. They were saying the prayers that they were supposed to say. They were doing everything just right. And they said, God, why have you not heard us? Why have you not heard our prayers? Why have you not answered our prayers in the way in which we want you to answer them? Why have you not delivered us from our enemies? Why have you not blessed us so that our crops and our flocks and our herds will multiply? Why are you distant? And God's response to them was, yeah, you're doing all of that stuff, but you're still being mean. You're still being horrible. You're still being awful. If we were to update the language and make it more contemporary, you're acting very religious, but you're still a jerk. And that's what God told them. You're still oppressing people. You're still hurting people. You're still pushing people down so that you can be lifted up. You're still turning your backs on those who actually are in need. And this is part of what Jesus says he's come to fulfill and not abolish. So God says, is this not the fast that I have asked? To loose the bonds of those who are being subjugated. To work for justice. To be engaged in the community around you so that people are not marginalized, abused, and taken advantage of. Is that not the fast that I have asked for, says the Lord? And you notice the beginning of the passage that I read from Jesus. He says, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. I mean, that is an image of stuff that does something. It's not an image of pious, wonderful faith that goes through the motions and really doesn't make an impact at all around. It's a faith that actually does something in the world around that makes a difference. And when you guys go camping, you eat jerky, right? When you go hiking? Not if you can avoid it, right? We do that to preserve the meat, because when you're out, you don't have a fridge. Wait, you're not one of those troops that, like, takes a generator and you know, keeps... Are you? Now we're in church, you can't lie. So before refrigeration, that's how you would preserve meat. I mean, there was no refrigerators. You shot a deer, you had to dry the sucker out. And you used salt to do that. The salt preserved the meat so that you could eat it later. It staves off decay. And as the salt of the earth, that's what we Christians are supposed to be. We're supposed to stave off decay. We're supposed to preserve. It's an active faith. It's one that looks out and sees where injustice and decay and rot are in the culture, and we go and we fix it. The other thing salt's good for, any of you guys watch Emeril? You know, back when he had his spices and he'd kick it up a notch, boom, you know? That's what salt does. It tastes good. That's why we put it on our French fries. We're the spice of life. Not only do we stave off decay, but we bring good stuff to the world. We're a light in the darkness. And you guys know what that's like when you go out camping, right? And you're stuck out in the woods on a snipe hunt, and you don't have a light with you. right? Yeah. But the light makes all the difference in the world. You can actually see what you're looking for. You can see what's around you. And that's what we do too. We look for the dark things in the world and we shine the light of God there. It is an active faith. It is a faith that goes out and makes a difference wherever it sees that it can. That's the kind of faith that Christ is calling us to in this passage. It's a fulfillment of what God leveled at the people of Israel as a criticism. Jesus is saying, now go do it. Do the right thing. Go be active. But then we also had the passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul talks about how he went to them and he preached to them, and he just didn't give words. He just didn't give a message of, this is how God has acted through history, and this is how he revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and so now we're going to set up a church, and that's what we're going to do. It was not that. It's not a history lesson. He went into Corinth, and he set up a church because people saw the power of the living God at work through him. It was a mighty faith that was actually transforming people, not only their situation in life, but their situation with inside themselves, from the inside out. It was rooting out the darkness, the evil, the decay, even within themselves, and transforming that into the holiness of God. And Jesus talks about that too. He says, truly I tell you, unless your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, they were people who, they were the religious folk. They were like the ones who would be up here doing stuff. And they were the ones that the community would look to and say, oh, that's how you do it. That's how you follow the law. That's how you be a good religious person. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not just about doing that. It's not just about engaging with other people in those means. It's about having an actual living faith that generates holiness within us, the very presence of God that transforms us from the inside out. It's both of those together. And if you read through the entire Old Testament, one of the things that you'll see whenever the Jewish people get in trouble, there's always two things that's going wrong. Number one, they're worshiping the wrong God. And when they're worshiping the wrong God, they're doing all sorts of things that are horrible, awful, and evil. And God really doesn't like that. But number two, when they're worshiping the wrong God, then they end up subjugating and hurting people around them. And so you see right next to each other, and in fact, if we'd read the previous chapter in Isaiah, you would have seen this too. They're worshiping idols, and because they're worshiping idols, now they're oppressing the poor. Both of those are equally evil in the sight of God. He wants us to have an active faith, but in order to have an active faith, we actually have to have faith. And that's what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to live a life in relationship with God in such a way that it makes a difference in the world around us. One of the things I say a lot when I talk about this is, if our faith is not strong enough to change the way we live, it's not strong enough to save us. If our faith in God does not enable us to actually look to Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Master, our King, so that we need to obey and follow Him, it is not a saving faith at all. That's what Jesus is getting at here. If we're going to go out and do, that's fine, but we have to do it because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's an awful lot of people in the world, an awful lot of organizations in the world that do good, that are not the church. But notice specifically what Jesus says. Do your good works in front of people so that they will see them and give glory to your Father in heaven. If people do not understand that the reason why we live the way we live is because of our relationship with God, then they're going to give glory to us when we do nice things. You know, I go feed in a soup kitchen or do Meals on Wheels or I build a Habitat house or anything like that. And it's, oh, wow, that's so wonderful. You're such a nice guy. I'm so glad you had the time to do that. Yeah, it's okay. I know, really. And the focus is on me. But we're supposed to live in such a way that people see it and are able to give glory to our Father in heaven. The only way they do that is if they know the reason why we do what we do is because of our relationship with God. Now, why would you give up a weekend to help build a Habitat house? Well, because I have a Father who loves me in heaven and has provided for my needs, and so then I have a duty to go and provide for the needs of others. Thanks be to God. Why do you help with Meals on Wheels? Because God has provided for me in what I need. And so I have a responsibility in love and service to Him to help provide for others. They flow in and out, back and forth through each other. They have to. When they do that, people will see those works and they can give glory to God in heaven. When they do that, they will see light shining in the darkness. And when we live in that way, we show that God's holiness is penetrating in us and transforming us and making our righteousness even greater than the religious leaders. Because we're doing it out of love for God, not simply to obey the rules and go through the motions. So as we get closer and closer to Lent, as we get closer and closer to the season in the church year where we try and prepare ourselves for the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, I invite you to begin kind of a self-examination. Do I believe? Do I have a relationship with God? Or am I going through the motions? If I am doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing, am I doing it in such a way that I go and I see the decay in the world and I try and stave it off for the glory of God? Or am I doing so and still just going through the motions because I want people to think better of me? Now, for as many different people in this room, there can be that many different answers to those. But take some time. Honestly ask yourself those questions. Honestly ask those questions of God. And if you really want the answer, He will reveal the answer to you. Usually through somebody else, completely unexpected, who walks up to you and says, you know, I've been thinking, and then here it comes. Take that as a word from God. And ask Him for help. Ask Him for help in growing into the holy person that He has created you and redeemed you to be. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You so very much that throughout our lives You are always there ready to listen, that You have promised never to leave us or forsake us, and we know that You are faithful in Your promises. And so as we take inventory of our own lives, as we look inside our own souls, we thank You for the blessings that You have given us, and we pray, Almighty God, that You would help us see where we still need to grow. We pray that You would help us have a firm and strong faith in you, a living relationship with our God. And we pray that you would make that relationship strong enough, our faith strong enough, to change the way we live, to help us shine light in the darkness, and to stave off decay in the world around us. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen.